Welcome to CPA Practice Advisors Tech to Go podcast series, a fast-paced roundtable discussion with executive editor Darren Root and regular columnists. These thought leaders tackle issues impacting the tax and accounting profession.
This is Darren Root, executive editor of CPA Practice Advisor, coming to you with episode 52 of Tech to Go. Again, I'm here with my regular co-host, Randy Johnston, who is a principal with NMGI, Network Management Group, Incorporated, and also with K2 Enterprises. Randy, welcome today.
Well, good day, Darren, and welcome to all of our listeners.
Randy, we've got some good topics again today. I enjoyed our topics last month. We talked a little bit about equipment and some of the stuff that's going on with some of the new client accounting online solutions. This month, I think what we want to do, Randy, is talk a little bit about website design and search engine optimization, also known as SEO, and then maybe talk a little bit about portals and integration of portals and how all this kind of comes together so that you can kind of do business online anymore. Does that sound fair enough?
It sounds quite fair and is an important topic for all of our listeners to consider. Can make a huge difference in clients being able to find you.
SEO, is that what you're referring to?
Yes, SEO, and also, frankly, just the web presence of your website.
Yeah. So, Randy, you know, there's lots of, well, I go back a few years when I really started this role as executive editor, and it seemed like we had some statistics that said that, you know, roughly half the firms out there had websites. Have you seen that measurably change in the last 2 to 3 years?
You know, unfortunately, no, Darren. I think the people that thought we need a website have gone out and done that. It's trickled up, but it hasn't been a let's really jump on board. I believe a lot of firms went out and created what I call yellow page static websites. They used vendors who, you know, gave them some options, some canned look and feel to work from, published it and said, that's done, checked it off, and walked away.
Yeah. Well, as you know, this is kind of a big part of the presentations that I do when I speak around the country is I firmly believe that our web presence is our new front door to our accounting firm. I believe that's where clients or potential clients are finding us. But I don't think it's enough today just to have a Yellow Pages sort of firm, or I guess brochureware website anymore. What's your take on that?
Well, I actually consider a brochureware type of website almost unusable today. I think there's so many more elements that you can put into the website, and you need much more of a look and feel that shows what you're doing, how you're doing it, a little friendlier look, a little more inviting look. So I like your words of front door simply because I think it's not only the front door, but it's also like a guided tour around the firm where you can show maybe the public parts of the firm in the very best light. If you have a static yellow page site, I think it might be like a newspaper ad. You know, maybe you've got a picture of somebody in the firm or a picture of your building, but it doesn't say much about your firm other than, you know, we do bookkeeping, tax, and we're like everybody else.
You know, the way I think about my website, and, you know, I'm thinking about my firm's website right now, which is root.com. But the way I think about it, Randy, is I go around and I look at the sites that I use the most personally, and those are sites like Chase.com, Fidelity.com, Apple.com. To name three, those are probably three of my most used sites. And two of the three, specifically Chase and Fidelity, you know, they could put any words that they wanted on their homepage and I probably wouldn't pay any attention, even though I'm there every day. It's a work center. It's a place for me to do business with both of those organizations.
Yeah.
And then I look at Apple, and Apple is a place for me to learn. I want to know about new products. I want to know about how-tos. They got a lot of how-to videos, you know, those two-minute things that I can learn little tips and tricks. So those are probably the three websites, and I'd throw American Airlines in there, again, as a place that I do business every, like you do, you know, constantly. But real value to me in a website is having a place where I can actually do things the way I want to do them when I want to do them.
Yes, and the idea there is being able to easily, quickly get in, have all of the information available in a secure fashion, and get out. So this whole idea of portals we've discussed in, you know, prior webcasts with the need to transfer files, let's just say it's QuickBooks files or it's tax return results out to clients, such a simple way for us to do that type of work that it's just very natural. Now, some firms are going a little bit further here where they're trying to educate their clients on different type of topics. You know, firms that I've talked to in the last 60 or 90 days that have these very interesting, very verticalized practices. You know, I'm going to pick something that's maybe a little higher end for some, but for example, expatriate tax accounting. And they put resources on there where they explain some of the rules and regulations. Or maybe there's another few firms in mind that are doing governmental contracting, and they've laid out for potential new clients how complex some of this can be if you don't understand the rules and how you can have a better business. And they are really teaching while marketing while attracting new client base.
Absolutely. That teaching component lends itself to expertise. You know, it really shows you and sets you apart as an expert in a niche, if you would. Go ahead.
And in fact, if you think about that, both of us somewhat benefit from that, Darren, because we get the good fortune of teaching CPE classes around the country. I know you've taught those for Thompson, for example, and you've done your own in many, many conferences, and obviously that's the foundation of my K2 business. And what we have to do to be able to teach effectively is a lot of preparation and have a lot of understanding and then try to convey that in a simple, straightforward method. And the fact of the matter is we probably do have some expertise beyond the norm simply because we focused on being able to say the correct things in front of large crowds.
Yeah.
But what I believe is that many really good practitioners around the country know their topic area so cold, and they really do one-on-one coaching and teaching with their clients on a pretty regular basis, even though they may not see themselves quite like that.
So an effective website to me is one that brings across that niche, if you will, and the expertise that a firm would have. It would also, as you in your words say, it would be friendly, really inviting to be there, and also a place for your existing clients to do business, whether it's, you know, logging into accounting software online or pulling up copies of tax returns, financial statements, or even your clients' employees getting their paycheck stubs or W-2s there. All this stuff, to me, makes for a great website.
Yes, those are certainly in play. And, again, you've got to think about what it is you're trying to convey. I probably don't do as good a job at this. You know, Dr. Bob Spencer from my team is much better about understanding what it is you're trying to tell people and making sure that you have all of the elements correct. And I think many websites are put up with facts and text, but they don't really work on what I would call the message that you're trying to get across, convey
yeah.
the expertise. They don't have the look and feel right. They don't have the marketing message right or business development work right. And frankly, today, these simple websites are beginning to look more amateurish and less professional, and I'm really concerned that firms who are not taking proactive action are, well, really getting outpositioned in the marketplace.
So let's just take a look, Randy. Let's say we have a listener today saying, you know, what you guys are saying is making sense. So I want to create a place to do business. I want to get, you know, my look and feel right, my message right. So they say, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to find somebody that does this. And what you have is you have a slew of these canned solutions that have been out for a while, and you can probably name several of those, right?
Yes, in fact, there are a number of them that, you know, position themselves as CPA firm-centric. The big publishers have these. You know, Thompson has an offering, CCH has an offering, eMachila has an offering, Accounting Sites has an offering, and so forth. There's probably 6 or 8 or 10 that are of that ilk.
Yep. And where do you see their best fit in the marketplace?
Well, that's a superb question, and I think their best fit is for firms that want something that's quite simplistic, that has some refreshed content on a regular basis, that has things that might be technical-centric, for example, tax updates or those types of things, that basically is easy to put in service and relatively low cost to maintain, where there's very little technical expertise needed and where you want very little control of what your website looks and feels like.
So the upside is easy to get going, fairly inexpensive.
Yes.
The downside maybe is a lot of them have a tendency to look very similar. They're typically these are template driven. But they're going to look fairly similar, and they're not going to give you a lot of flexibility as to adding a lot of different functionality, videos, and other things that you may want to put on your site. Is that fair?
That is absolutely fair. In fact, I'm going to quote some Adobe people that I talked to in the last week. There's a beautiful little product called Forms Central that I recommend that CPA firms use, and it actually can do integrated survey work off of your websites if you have an interest in that. But the presenter from Adobe, who's the manager of Forms Central, said, you know, it's really fascinating. Once we release this product, how many people use our templates, and I can spot them right away. And he said, you know, it's so easy to create a custom template. I don't understand why you wouldn't take the 5 to 7 minutes it takes to customize it to give it a different look and feel. But we see it all the time. And you and I have seen that for 20 years in PowerPoint. I thought it was so interesting with the congressional presentations over the last little while. The guys are using PowerPoint, and they're using the stock templates. It's like, what is that about?
Yeah. But it's been a while since we've done that.
Yeah, I haven't used a stock template in forever. I mean, I guess I have when I've presented in a short notice and teaching people about how to use PowerPoint. But once we're past that, a stock template just says so much about not willing to do the work to be a little different.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. All right, so let's we've got these, let's call them entry-level solutions, cost-effective, easy to maintain, not flexible, okay? You know, the other end of that spectrum is I go down the street I have a buddy that's a web designer. Here in Bloomington, Indiana, we have a slew of them at Indiana University. And now I'm a practitioner, and I need to go to them, and I got to convey what I'm after. Talk a little bit about that particular experience.
Well, you know, on that account, Darren, it's pretty clear to me that there's lots of web people all over the country of different skills. Sometimes hard to express what you're after. Sometimes that you can't tell how good their skills are or aren't. But let's just say you found somebody who has really good skills. You still have to convey what it is we're trying to accomplish as a CPA firm. It is very normal that they'll do the work and then move on to something else, change jobs or whatever. So with college students in particular, they graduate and they move on. So you've got to rebuild this. An associate, both of you and I know, spent tens of thousands of dollars on developing their web presence, and now their web guy won't respond in a timely fashion, and they've had website outages over the last 60 days because the guy just isn't quite available. So there's some technical issues along those lines that put you at risk. Sometimes the products are developed in that, the websites are developed in that developer's favorite product, which may or may not be something that's standard or well understood in the marketplace. So, you know, if you have to change people, all of a sudden you've got to rebuild your website in its entirety. Plus, many times those website developers don't understand search engine optimization very well. We'll talk about that hopefully a little later in our time together. But they don't understand the rules of doing search engine optimization, so they don't actually build the websites very well. They may have something they like doing particularly well, so you get a lot of that involved. But there may be something they don't understand, so you don't get those things. For example, maybe social media integration into your website. Maybe they don't understand how that all works, and that really helps with teaching and website optimization and search engine optimization and some other issues. So you wind up with a different set of problems, although you wind up with a more custom-built website.
Well, in the vein of full disclosure, you know, the company I own, RootWorks, you know, we build websites, and we actually collaborate with you in some of this, Randy, and we kind of hit more of a middle ground, and I'm sure there's other companies out there doing this, but talk about this sort of this middle ground option, sort of the specialty to the accounting profession.
Happy to do that. And for our listeners, I think a quick way to think about this is it's a lot like purchasing clothing. You can buy clothes off the shelf, you can have them custom tailored, or you can purchase and alter them. And if you think about it, a lot of us will buy suits, for example, purchase and altered, where we'll go in and we'll get fitted, and we'll spend a little more for that, but they'll look better. But it's pretty clear if you can afford custom tailored clothing, there's some real benefits to the way it looks and feels and fits. If you get things off the shelf, sometimes the shoulders don't exactly fit and so on.
Yeah.
The websites that we're talking about here are pretty much the same. If you buy the canned approach, you're getting off the shelf. If you go to the local web developer, you're getting a lot of custom tailoring. And if they get the idea right, you can have beautiful websites. Purchase and Altered says, we're going to get it really good and really professional right up on the front side, and then we'll tweak it to make it fit your needs better. And so, you know, in terms of our team, which, you know, we've got web developers on staff, we've taken the approach of using open tools and trying to use templates because we think that's in the better or not templates, wireframes, in terms of the long-term approach, because that gives you a lot of the benefit of professional design with a lot less of the pain of how do you make a portal work? How's this look and feel? Is this getting the message across right and so forth?
So that's kind of the three, and I would put them in the price points of low or cost effective, expensive, which is the full custom, even though you may not get exactly what you want at the end of the day, and middle of the road. Would that be fair?
That is absolutely fair, and that's part of the reason I like to use the clothing analogy, because the same thing would be true if you were purchasing clothing. So you can get something that's quite functional off the shelf. You can get something that's quite elegant when it's custom tailored, but the best compromise for a lot of people is purchased and altered.
So now that we've kind of laid out the framework of website development, Randy, one piece I would like to plug in before we talk about SEO is this idea of a place to do business. And you and I have had a lot of discussions about around this. Things, and I'll use my site as an example. I want, you know, if I'm using QuickBooks, and I'm not talking about QuickBooks Online, I mean, I'm just talking about traditional QuickBooks. In my mind, if I have that traditional QuickBooks hosted in a hosted environment, I want my clients to come to root.com, in my case, and log in and work on that. I also want my clients to come there to log into their portal. I may be using bill.com as an accounts payable solution that I want to give my clients some access to. So I want to plug these things into my site. All the things that I put into the clouds that I want my clients to have access to, I want to plug that into my site so that it makes my site a place for them to do business.
Yes, and as you tried to illustrate with the places you go, and let's just pick on Chase and Fidelity and American as the three you named earlier, you know, your goal there is that you're going there to do a transaction. And with our clients, we want them to come to the same place to run their payroll or payables or do their accounting. It helps the firm from a branding perspective. It helps the firm from a web traffic perspective. It helps the client by having a secure place to go to. It helps the client by having a single place to go to. It helps the client by having a consistent way to do things. And it helps the client in that your website can maintain all of the different interfaces as the different back ends that your firm uses change or as the vendors update their products.
So we build this place to do business, which automatically creates a lot of traffic. I mean, if I do 5,000 paychecks a month through my firm, I'm going to have roughly 5,000 people coming to log in to see their paycheck stubs. And if my clients are logging into their accounting system and they're coming to my to root.com to do that, I've got all this traffic that I'm creating. And maybe I'm writing a blog that I post on my website as well. So I've, my site becomes, without changing the whole thing, it becomes somewhat dynamic. Is that important?
It is very important, because this amount of traffic and these changes in the website drive the search engines. And so if you have a particular expertise, let's say it's healthcare in a community, you become more and more well-known in the healthcare community because of all of these different employees and businesses and business owners and so forth visiting your site for their day-to-day needs. And if you can muster just a tiny bit of effort to talk about things that are important in that industry, so let's just say electronic healthcare records, or let's just say for a minute payment encounter, just to name two topics that's high profile in the healthcare industry right now, you will actually develop a following about people that will want to know more about your expertise, and I think that magnifies it. So unlike Chase or Fidelity or American, where you hardly look at what's on the website, that expertise is so focused on those clients' needs, I do believe you'll pick up readership and become better and better known.
So tell me how, I'm getting this traffic on my site, and some of it is kind of forced traffic because that's the way we're doing business with clients. How does search engine optimization, well, first define it for us and then tell us how that kind of comes into play.
Well, search engine optimization is techniques used on your website to help the common search engines like Google, Bing, Yahoo, and so forth to actually find your site more rapidly, more easily, and place you higher in the rankings. The goal should be that when somebody searches for accounting services in your local market, that you show up very near the top of the list, certainly on the first page of a search, because all I'd like our listeners to think about is the last time you did an internet search, how many times did you go to the second, third, or fourth pages of results to find something? I can tell you I did it this week for the first time in weeks, but I haven't done it in 6 or 8 weeks before that.
Yep.
So it's exceptionally important that we get you placed in those first pages. And this is not where you're paying for ads or any of that type of placement. This is what's known as organic results, where just because of the way your website is working, you naturally occur in those upper pages with your offerings.
So I'm just thinking to myself here, so I apologize for that. So
it's okay, because you know, this is heady stuff, and a lot of people take it for granted. Oh, I've got a website out there, and I'm doing these things and so forth. But search engine optimization actually takes not only initial work to make it work right, but some ongoing work to actually continue to get the best results.
Well, here's where I'm thinking. I talk to a lot of classes, as you do, and as I'm talking about web, one of the questions I ask every class is, how many people in the room look things up via the yellow pages, the physical, the paper copies? And, I mean, I rarely have a hand that goes up in oftentimes, you know, decent-sized rooms. So that tells me that if somebody's going to find me, they're going to find me on the web, because that's where everybody does their searching, it seems like, anymore.
Yes.
And you just said, and I would mimic the same thoughts, I don't look much beyond page one.
Mm-hmm.
So unlike the paper yellow pages, if I, you know, I can be on page three of, you know, CPAs with a big ad and somebody might still see me. If I don't get to page one, that's important. And there's only so many, you know, lines on page one. So it's important for me as a firm to get this right.
It's exceptionally, exceptionally important, and the rules change over time. So the rules that we talk about today, and I want to give the listeners a few simple rules today, but the rules we talk about today will be different 90 days from now or 120 days from now. And while you were describing the process, I just did a quick search in Google on me today, and of course my name is Randy Johnston with a T, so if you remember to put in the T, what you discover is there's a now deceased fashion model named Randy Johnston and a jazz guitarist out of New York named Randy Johnston, and I've met him. But it turns out that in the dozen or so listings on the first page for Randy Johnston, I think I took like 9 of those dozen today.
Yeah.
And if you simply add our K2 business, Randy Johnston K2, every single entry on the first result page in Google is me. So, basically no competitor, if you want to think of it that way, made it to the Google search engines. And honestly, I've been doing very light search engine optimization because I've been on vacation during the last few weeks and just really haven't fritzed with this much since June. We're recording this today in August. So, for a couple of months, haven't actually done much with it, and the search engine results are holding pretty well.
My name's probably a little less common. I just did it while we were sitting here. I got 9 out of 10 of them with Deer en Route on page one. And before we went on the call today, I did Bloomington, Indiana, CPA, and I came up first, which I knew that was the case. So if you're looking for Deer en Route or you're looking for Randy Johnston, you're going to, if you Google either one of us, you're going to get a bunch of us. I mean, a lot. You're going to get a lot of you and a lot of me both on the first page, which is encouraging. If you're looking for a Bloomington, Indiana CPA, so in the first example, somebody knows your name or they know my name. If you're just moving to Bloomington and you want to look in Bloomington, Indiana CPA, that's another place that you want to come up high in the rankings. You want to be an option for that person to call. And so, again, search engine optimization is going to be important. Probably, on my side, I'm probably optimized for CPA and for Bloomington and for Indiana and all these different things coming together. Would that be right?
That is probably right, and this is probably a good time to just talk about the types of things that search engines look for, and I'm going to go through these pretty quickly. They do change over time, but currently, the domain name itself is the first thing that search engines actually view. Normally, there's a little bar right up at the top that's called the page title, and the current algorithms tell us that 14 words is the most optimal number of words to put in the title bar to have the best optimization. The search engines look at headlines on your page. They actually look at the first paragraph of any content that you've written. There's a hidden site description that can be used, and today you're best off if that hidden site description has between 25 and 100 words. Then the search engine looks at the rest of the visible content on your page. It then looks at the links between other sites. In other words, who are you linking to and who is linking to you? And then finally, and less important, are hidden keywords. In the early days of the Internet, in the mid-90s, for example, hidden keywords were really important for the search engines to work well, but they've become, far less important than they were.
Sure.
So notice what you just identified, Bloomington, Indiana, CPA, and your name and other characteristics about your firm, those are probably all in your hidden site description, and those words are also probably used in your page title and your headlines and your first paragraph content and all those other places, because knowing the current rules and applying those current rules helps this organic discovery by the search engines as they go out and crawl the web every night for updated content.
So, Randy, this has been a great discussion. I want to kind of step back and regroup from my own perspective and tell me where I go wrong on this. But if I'm a firm listening out there and I have brochure where I'm going to call it on the web, and I'm thinking, that doesn't sound like where I want to be going forward. I've got 3 different options for thinking about doing a whole new web presence. I could go in entry level, maybe plug in some portal capability, some functionality to that, but again, it may be entry level. I may have to write my own content for that. I could go to a complete custom, or I could go to a middle of the road. So those are my three options. Once I pick the option that suits me best, then I have to think about the plug-in functionality. You know, what services do I use in the cloud to sort of plug into my site? You know, do I want to write a blog? Do I want to keep it sort of updated? Do I want to become an expert in a particular space? And then I need to think about this thing called search engine optimization. And, you know, I am too busy to think about that. I'm too busy to do it. So I need to, probably the majority of that, I'm going to outsource as well to somebody that's good at that. Is that how I should be thinking about this?
It's almost a perfect summary right down through everything that you're talking about. A way to think about this search engine expertise and outsourcing that is your better clients bring you tax work, for example, because they need your expertise. Are there tools that they could do the work? Probably. Is it the best use of their time? Probably not. So it's the same way here with search engine. We could teach all of our listeners how to do that. But honestly, I think you'd make more money working on the practice than working on search engine optimization.
Yeah.
So this is a reasonably good service to outsource. It's fairly well defined, and it's very measurable as far as the results go, because you can choose your keywords and you can look at the rankings, and most of the search engine optimization companies that do this work provide monthly reports of the results. And you can watch those results over time and say, yeah, this is working. Oh, yeah, I'm going to open a new area of the practice in this specialty. Let's say it's veterinary medicine. And you can add that, and you can watch your rankings on veterinary-related words help you be found better in the search engine rankings and so forth, all done through search engine optimization.
Makes perfect sense. You know, Randy, we're really out of time today, but I think this has been a great topic and one that every firm, if they're not taking seriously, needs to really take it seriously. You know, I would add tongue-in-cheek to that, they need to be taking social media seriously. I'm yet to completely figure all that out yet, but I do think I have a good handle on the web, as do you. And you probably have a better handle on social media. And I know social media is going to be important. Don't want to get into that discussion today. Maybe you and I can get into it later. But, you know, web's been around a long time. Social media is a little bit newer. We need to get our handle on really both of these over time.
It is clear to me that it's important that you have a vision of where you're going. People who are executing what you'd like to have done do agree that over time we need to add social media into this conversation about how to use it with very little effort and what's effective and so forth. And as I've been explaining these topics to you, it's dawned on me that, you know, I've got a little bit of extra time this month. I just probably need to go back through and review the strategy on all of my business sites. Just tune it up a little bit, because things are different here now than they were 3 months ago. And I think I've got an idea where things are going, but while I've got a little extra time, this is a good time to tune up the content of the websites, and I bet a lot of our listeners are in that same spot.
Yeah, perfect sense. Well, Randy, thanks a lot for your time today. It's you know, it's a hot month. It's been hot all across the Midwest, I know, and sooner or later we'll get a weather break, and you and I are going to hit the conference series again here before too long, and best wishes to you.
Well, thank you very much. You are right. The average temperature here in my hometown of Hutchinson has been 103 all days in the month of July. And so I think we're well over 40 days north of 100 degrees this year. And we know a lot of people are out there suffering from lack of water, just like people suffered from too much water early in the year. So it's been an odd one this time.
Right? It has been an odd one.
But we're looking forward to seeing a lot of our listeners around the country as we hit the seminar circuits later in the year.
Great, Randy. Thanks. Have a good day, and look forward to seeing you soon.
Very soon. Good day.
Bye-bye.
For more info on the CPA Practice Advisor programs and our e-newsletter, visit cpapracticeadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 1-800-456-0864, extension 2107, or tune into future episodes where you'll be able to ask questions live via TalkShoe.com.